Good morning. I haven't spoken up front like this on Sunday morning for quite a while. I think the last time I did it like a couple weeks apart, I kind of filled in for Mike, and then when my term came around, Mike filled in for me, and so it's been quite a while since I've been up here. And I always, once I give a talk, I try to think on, well, what's my next talk going to be about so I can have something to think on and hopefully mature into a talk. And I thought I had it. And I'll tell you what it was. Maybe we can do it sometime for an open meeting or something. It just didn't go anywhere with me, but I like the thought. And it's something I heard, and it's there's something about that person I don't like about myself. I think it's interesting. You can toy with it. To me, it's just, sometimes when we're pointing fingers, there's more fingers pointing back, and it's something maybe we need to think about. But it just wasn't something that's going to materialize for me into a longer talk, so I didn't go there. And I thought I'd come to a conclusion on Thursday evening, and as often when I start to give a talk, I look at scriptures, and scripture points me in a different direction. So that talk isn't going to be the one you get either. As many of you know, I'm spending more time with cows these days, and it's not going to be all about that. But I do spend quite a bit of time, and we do a little bit of the show circuit thing, and it's nice to win once in a while, and. And some of my thoughts are when I'm thinking about cows, they turn spiritual. There's a spiritual side to them. And when you have cattle, you're trying to mate each cow with a bull that you feel it would make a calf better than either of the parents. I've heard this done spiritually, too, that each of us, as we marry, that we should be raising children that are better Christians, better people than we are, using our resources that we have to promote a better society. We know the whole world isn't thinking that way, but I've heard that spiritually talked about, that each of us should be, who can we marry that will help us be a good Christian and help raise even better Christians than we are. So when I'm with my cows, sometimes I do have spiritual thoughts. I've heard it said there's no perfect cow, no perfect bovine, and we only know of one perfect human being. So it's not that we'll ever reach perfection, but strive to be better. What I ended up kind of going with is, all of us know our weaknesses, and we know we have weaknesses. And sometimes we get a little frustrated that we aren't stronger than we are. We have these weaknesses. Are we going to stay in those weaknesses, or are we going to try to escape them and become much stronger? And I was toying with some verses and just looking to see strengths and weaknesses. And it was interesting, favorite passage that I have, back in Daniel, the prophecies that Daniel was given to interpret. Remember the one about Nebuchadnezzar? And so if you look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 41, you would come up with the verse, "Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with clay." Now, I'm not here to talk about Daniel today or Nebuchadnezzar. That was referring to the Roman Empire. Remember the image? Nebuchadnezzar was referred to as the head. The chest was a little divided in Medo-Persian Empire. And then the lower torso was the Grecian Empire. But the feet and... The legs and feet and toes, were made of potter's clay and partly of iron. Why do I bring this up? I just thought it was interesting when it said, the strength of the iron shall be in it. And so often we as the United States are compared to the Roman Empire. I don't want us to still be negative, but it's something that I think we need to realize and learn from history, learn from what's happened before for us, that we may be in a nation that's going to fall. It's not going to be as great as it has been in the past. But as individuals, we should take notice of this and be spiritually informed. Sometimes along that line, you know, we say, well, we're too sports-minded. We have, you know, there's competition in everything. Well, there's competition on cattle. I was at a cattle show yesterday with Maddie. There's just a lot of competition, especially in sports. And there's other things that we've been compared to the Roman Empire. Strength and weaknesses, or weaknesses and strengths. The Roman Empire had it because of that mixture. If their feet had been completely of iron, and their toes be complete of iron, they would have been a stronger nation. But they had their fault. I think it was a divine intervention, probably, because during that kingdom was when something was going to crush it, and that kingdom would never be destroyed. And hopefully we know that we are part of that today if we're in the Church of Christ, that that kingdom will never fail. Weaknesses and strengths. I thought of Samson. If we go to the Judges, chapter 16, 28 through 30, we will read, and I actually had a different thought on that than I ever had before in my life. I'll share it with you here in a second. Pages don't separate like they used to. Beginning with 28, then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the Lord's, and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. I think we know the story of Samson. Wasn't the most righteous person. He had trouble with women. Seemed to be a lot of his downfall. And because of the women in his life that weren't good choices, he lost his strength and lost his eyesight. But he prayed to God, and God remembered him. And basically, we're talking about a suicide here that God allowed. Apparently God was okay with. Samson was asking to die and seeking revenge for losing his eyesight with the Lord's help. And the Lord allowed him to do this. And I thought, you know, I'm sure the Muslim people don't look to this as their scripture. They kind of like to start with the same creation, but when it gets to Moses and the Israelites, they don't want to accept that as scripture. We think of, and we get a little tired of, you know, we allow these people in our country, and they want to destroy us. They want to destroy our government. So many times we hear of suicide bombings, and it's the men, we always hear the story, like we did with 9/11, that, you know, their desire was to go out in a fiery inferno and have heaven with How many virgins, I don't know. But it did cause me to reflect with the story of Samson. And then I thought of the suicide bombers that are virgins. What do they get when, or what's their idea of what they get when they do this and get to heaven? Well, I don't think it's really something we need to worry about or need to answer, because in their case, they're not going through Jesus Christ. They're not going to be in heaven. Samson, I'm kind of wondering if he probably won't be, because of his last-minute realization of where his strength really was. Weaknesses and strengths. Proverbs 27 and 17 is, there's a phrase in there that I love. I've heard Rick Sparks use this. And just the first phrase of the sentence is, as iron sharpens iron. What does that mean to you? I think of ways that things are sharpened. Sometimes a knife is sharpened on a stone. Meat cutters usually have a steel that you take the knife and go up and down alternative sides of the steel to get an edge on that knife. Iron sharpens iron. I think that's what I'm doing today. I'm taking my turn and hopefully help you sharpen something. And then another time, you'll be sharpening and helping me. That's what I think is so great about the Church of Christ and the mutual edification, that iron does sharpen iron. We help each other become better, help each other hopefully stay reminded and righteous. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that's great. Pull a bookmark. Hebrews 11th chapter, we have a chapter on faith. We have the definition of it, and we have like a story about Abel, how he offered a better sacrifice because of his faith. Enoch, who was translated, did not see death because of his faith. Noah, building the ark and saving his family because of his faith. Abraham and Sarah. Oh, the story of faith that we're reminded of in Abraham, and how he offered his firstborn son to his wife. Go on, we have the stories of Joshua, how Joshua had faith. But then we come on the story of a woman. This being Mother's Day, I think this is important. This woman wasn't probably what you'd call a very righteous woman. Scripture calls her a harlot. In verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. We have many other heroes, and beginning with verse 32 and reading a few verses. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, because valiant in battle turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mocking and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should be made perfect apart from us. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. So many times, I think it's the only way we can be strong is realizing how weak we are, how vulnerable we are. That if we realize that we are weak, that is when we're at our strongest. Rahab was weak, but became strong. Mark gave a talk quite a while back, and he used the little story, one for the men and one for the women. And the women's one was, as you remember, a young couple had just gotten married, and the foolish groom decided to let his new wife know that she actually had some flaws. And she, being very knowledgeable and savvy, said, yes, because of those flaws, I didn't get a better husband. I've been concerned most of my life on issues, and it might be a little more of a problem, I don't know, for women. You can be the judge of this. Men have esteem issues also. But I've talked to a fellow elder, not in this congregation, and it is a big problem. And I hate to say self-esteem. We need esteem. We need righteous esteem. Self-esteem looks like it might be, not the best nature. But I've seen people, the favorite mother in my life, mother of my 7 grandchildren, deal with self-esteem issues, not having esteem, self-esteem that she needed. I think I saw a daughter deal with those same issues. She came out with a good husband. But I am concerned for the women and the young girls, that we don't have the right esteem, righteous esteem, that we need to attract a husband worthy of them. And so we settle for less, and then we deal with greater issues because we didn't hold out for the right guy. That we settle for less, and then hopefully not anybody in the church, but so many times we see battered women, abused women, women that suffer because their spouse cheats on them, because they didn't have the esteem, the righteous, godly esteem they needed, apparently healthy esteem, to attract or to gain the spouse they really needed. I'm hoping we can have some lessons on this. If not, if it doesn't get covered in the 2-week study, that maybe we can use this as a Labor Day topic or something. Having the proper esteem that we need, both men and women. But I think something that helps us get this is realizing that we are weak, we are fallible, we do make mistakes, but through Jesus Christ, we can do all things. We're going to offer you the gospel invitation this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. I hope you correct that. Not waiting too long to accept Him as your Savior. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no doubt in my mind that Jews that don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that Muslims, anybody in this whole world that do not accept Jesus Christ, they're not going to be saved. There's only one way. As many times as we see it, the people try to say there's many alternate ways to get to heaven. They are wrong. There is one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get to the Father, is through the Son. There's only one Son. We urge you to confess Jesus is the Son of God. We urge you to repent of your sins and have your sins washed away in the baptismal waters. Go under that water so Jesus' blood can wash those sins away. And then remain strong, realizing that we can be weak. And in our weaknesses, we need to seek out a resolve in Jesus Christ. Whatever your needs be, if you'd like to place a membership, whatever your needs, come as we sing the song that Brother Mike has given us.